Many years ago, I was on an airplane coming back from visiting Debbie. We were not married. I went back and forth from L.A. to the East Coast to see her and went broke in the process. But I was on my way back, and it was back in the day of World Airways, if you remember them. So that dates me. I think they were crop dusters, but we got home. And I sat down, and some terrible tragedy had happened in our country. I don't even remember what it was. But it had us all talking, you know, like right now. If it had happened yesterday, you might talk to a total stranger and say, hey, what'd you think about yesterday? Man, now who does that kind of thing? Whatever it was, doesn't matter. So he looks at me, and this is, by the way, a jumbo jet. These are DC-10s. It was really big, and it was full, and it was a red eye. So I'm ready for sleep, and he says this. So how many, we agreed it was evil, whatever happened. And then he says, how many evil people do you think are on this airplane? And I thought, oh, man, I knew my theological, I was fresh out of seminary, so I knew the answer. It's called targeting, you know, I mean, it's not a good thing. And I'm thinking Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Romans 3. There's none good, no, not one. My answer? All of us. I saved my answer and did the profoundly insightful thing. I'm not sure. How about you? What do you think? You know? You know what his answer was? One, maybe two. And we talked a little bit. I actually tried to make light of that and said, I hope neither of those are in the cockpit right now. That's all I hope for. And they said, what about you? And I told him, I think my answer is not just my own answer. And I told him about something that repeats in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that there's none righteous. Not a single one. I don't know about you, but for a long time I thought, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I even went so far to say, well, I got a seminary degree and then got a second one, and that must make me even a gooder guy, right? I mean, I'm getting there, you know. And by the way, if you don't know my story, I'm a PK. That's huge. Surely that gets me in, doesn't it? I mean, not really. That's a little my testimony. But I thought that way. I thought, you know, God's got to be okay with me. He's surely happy with my dad. My dad could do no wrong in my mind. He's just an amazing guy. Loves Jesus. And I thought, well, I'll just ride in on his big coattails. Back to the airplane, I said, well, the Bible actually says this, which probably wrecked the conversation there because he thought, well, but I said, there's none righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. Do you feel the props just coming out from underneath your own self-righteousness right now? Yeah, but I go to church. I think none means none. All have turned away. They have together become, I'm not calling you worthless, the Bible does. Together we've become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. By the way, a mouth that's full of cursing and bitterness, Jesus would go on to say in the gospel, out of the mouth flows that which fills the heart. So you can say, yeah, I got a potty mouth, you know, a little, you know, drunken sailor talk and da-da-da-da-da. This is just, I just got to fix my mouth. Good luck with that one. it's not going to work for you. I just don't want to frustrate you. But if you got a potty mouth, you got a bad heart. Your heart needs attention. That's where the problem is. By the way, that's true of everything. I don't really have a potty mouth usually, but I some of you are going, usually, Pastor, really? I don't have a potty mouth that's ever been recorded. Let's put it that way. No, I have a hard time waiting in the long line at Costco for gas. So anyway, but I haven't lost my religion there yet. But my problem's not this. It's this. In fact, every one of these things in Romans 3 is this. And Jeremiah, you know this if you've been here in this series called Success. Jeremiah says what about this? In chapter 17, it's desperately wicked. Not slightly bad. As bad as it gets. Desperately wicked. Now I'm going to stop for a second and ask this question. Have I insulted you this morning? You can say, yeah, sort of. That's okay. I understand that. I feel a little insulted myself. I do. Because I'm one of those non-righteous. That's me. I don't like the sound of that. It does not play well in today's culture that says you deserve a trophy for everything. When are we going to give convicted killers on death row trophies? It's ridiculous. Here's the problem. The Bible has unbelievably good news. We just heard about it. But until we're honest about the bad news, that's just a... That's like walking down Main Street at Disneyland and seeing the frozen banana, chocolate-covered banana guy and going, wow, what a day. Who cares? Who cares? Okay, here's what I want you to do. It's going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes this morning. And I'm going to ask you to keep them closed. And I'm just letting God lead this moment. I try to every week, but I'm like, whoa. And I'm going to ask the lights to come down some, if we can. And I want to have you take a little trip. And that trip's only for you to take. No one's with you. And so you set out on this journey and you're not sure where you're going to go. I can tell you it's to a destination you're familiar with. You know about this place. For some of you, you live there a lot. You go there quite frequently. But for others, it's been a long, long, long time. There's a reason it's been that long. Because it's not a place you want to go back to. It's a place that when you left, you hoped you would leave it for good. And here you are in church of all places. And you're being encouraged to go on this journey. So you set out reluctantly. And you go to a place, on your way there, you're starting to relive the memory of that place. It's a place of pain. It's a place of shame. The closer you get to it, the more embarrassed you are. But you're going to stay on the path maybe for no other reason but to comply with my wish this morning. So you keep going there. Now it's in view. Some of you are way back in your teen years or college years. And you are approaching the building. And it's locked. The door's locked. And you're kind of relieved because that means you don't have to go in there. But you remember where the key is, and sure enough, it's still there. So you go. And you insert the key in the door, and it still works, and the door is open. And you didn't expect this, but it still smells bad, really bad. And you want your impulse is to just retreat, just to leave it, to back right out of that and lock the door again. But you go in. And you're reliving it now. You're remembering that moment. It was something that happened so impactful to you that it was a cursed day in your past. You're hearing voices of people that were there. And you wish you could say you performed well, but you didn't. You're humiliated and broken. You're thinking, I want out of this. If you'll stay a moment, you'll hear Jesus say to you, when I said, I love you, I meant I love you in that place. When you read those words in Romans 5, verse 8, that I showed you my great love for you, in that while you were in that place, a dark place of sin, that's when Jesus died for you. He didn't die to make good people better. He died to make dark, hopeless, helpless, depraved people, all of us, forgiven, loved, transformed, embraced. Are you feeling his embrace right now? Jesus did not come for people that fit comfortably, live cleanly, have no marks, no scrapes, no smell. He came, he said, for sick people. And all that he has to offer works for sick people. So this morning, before leaving that room that you're in right now, I want you to imagine Jesus coming over and sitting down next to you. And he just hugs you, he holds you, he says, I love you. And I died for you because of this place. To transform this place. To make what was evil in this place good. Glorious. Victorious. To actually show you that in this horrible, horrible hell hole, I have a way out. It's to take me by the hand and I will lead you out. I will love you out of that. And I will never let go of you from this moment forward. And he repeats himself, I meant it. Come with me. Partly because you don't believe it. You can't quite in your own mind imagine that. But he says, I love you. I've forgiven you. I died for you. That cross, my cross, was your cross too. Will you just whisper to him that you love him? Will you tell him, I can't believe you did this for me? Will you spend this moment just visiting, just talking, just resting? Well, you're still there. Words that are permanently recorded in the Bible can be put right alongside Romans 5:8, Psalm 77:19. Looks back to a similar place of imprisonment. A place where there was no escape, no way out, no way to wholeness, no way from shame and darkness. And it starts by telling about attempts to get out. I'll tunnel my way out of this. I'll climb my way out of this. I'll run my way out of this. None of it worked. Because you're too stuck. And then Psalm 77:19, the writer, he says, you made a pathway through. He was talking about people stuck with an ocean in front of them and a fast approaching enemy behind them. No way to survive. Stuck. And they thought through all their options and nothing came to mind that would work. And then they listened. And God said, I've got the way. I am the way. And I will show you the way through to freedom, to escape, to joy, to hope, to life. Church, I don't know how long you've sat in this moment. We've only been a few minutes in it here this morning. Maybe you've been in it decades. And you want freedom. Today's your day of freedom. Today's your day of letting God love you in that kind of place. Not the new and improved you, but that you can't seem to escape. Let him love you there. Let him say it's okay. We'll go together. In a moment, we're going to give you a chance to just come forward if you want to do that. Respond to Jesus in song. Ask God how to keep you from going back there at all, ever, no more, to walk free.